All right, sports fans, how's everybody out there doing? William Martin coming at you one more time with another edition of the 300 Pounds of Sports Knowledge podcast. Folks, it is that time of the week, my key games for the upcoming weekend in the world of college football. I want to get things started with a big Thursday night affair in the Pac-12 conference as the 18th ranked UCLA Bruins make the trek up north to take on the 15th ranked Cardinal of Stanford. Now for UCLA and their freshman quarterback Josh Rosen, he will rely on a running game with running back Paul Perkins. But on the flip side for Stanford, they have a veteran signal caller back there by the name of Kevin Hogan, and he's going to rely on his running game with Christian McCaffrey along with Barry Sanders Jr. You look at this Stanford defense led by linebacker Blake Martinez, who already on the season has 63 tackles. This game is going to be all about field position and what team is able to establish their running game first. And I'm going to take Stanford at home in this one by the score of 34 to 23. Now, moving along to Saturday afternoon, and I'm going to start in the Big Ten Conference as the undefeated Iowa Hawkeyes with a record of 6-0 travel to Evanston, Illinois to take on the 20th ranked Northwestern Wildcats. You look at this Iowa team under head football coach Kurt Ferentz, they just keep moving along this season, getting victories, and before you know it, this team could be in position to win the Big Ten West and make their first appearance in the Big Ten Championship game. For the Iowa offense, you look at running back Jordan Kanzeri, but this Iowa defense is really bringing it on a weekly basis. You look at the two tackling machines they have there in Cole Fisher and Josie Jewell, and you look at defensive back Desmond King, who already this season has 5 interceptions. As a unit, defensively, Iowa has 19 team sacks, so I look for them to try to put some pressure on this Northwestern offense. But Northwestern really doesn't like to throw the football that much. Instead, they want to run it with Justin Jackson, and they have a defense that can bring it as well, led by linebacker Anthony Walker, who already has 50 tackles this year. This is going to be a tight one right here where field position is going to predicate things, but I'm going to take Iowa on the road in this one by the score of 24 to 20. Now, an out-of-conference game for Ole Miss this Saturday as they find themselves traveling to the Liberty Bowl in Memphis to take on the undefeated Memphis Tigers. Now, Ole Miss comes into this game ranked 13 in the nation, and at the same time, this is an opportunity for Memphis and the American Athletic Conference to get some respect in the college football landscape. But you look at this Ole Miss offense, and quarterback Chad Kelly is simply synced in with wide receiver Laquon Treadwell. And Treadwell knows how to make his quarterbacks look pretty good out there. Defensively, you look at Ole Miss defensive back Trey Elston, who has 4 interceptions on the season, and he's going to try to key on Memphis quarterback Paxton Lynch. But Paxton Lynch has shown that he can put this Memphis offense on his back. This is going to be a back and forth affair, and more than likely, the last team to possess the football will win. Thus, I'm going to take Ole Miss on the road in this one by the score of 41 to 37. Now, moving along to the Southeastern Conference, a big one this Saturday afternoon as a 10th ranked Alabama Crimson Tide travel to College Station to take on the 9th ranked Aggies of Texas A&M. Now, A&M has enjoyed a good turnaround this season under head football coach Kevin Sumlin as they are undefeated, and a victory in over Alabama in this game could help the Aggies get to their first SEC championship game. But it won't be easy because Alabama seems to have found their swagger, so to speak. You look at what they were able to do a few weeks ago against Georgia, and they really just took Georgia behind the woodshed in a game that a lot of people, myself included, expected Georgia to win. You look at the quarterback play for Alabama. Is it going to be Cooper Bateman or is it going to be Jake Coker? I don't know, but at the same time, whomever the quarterback is, to simply give the football to Derrick Henry at running back and get out of his way. But one thing that you can always guarantee with a Nick Saban-led team is a fierce defense. And Alabama has that once again, led by linebacker Reggie Ragland, who already has 50 tackles this year. And as a team, Bama comes in with 16 sacks. Now, A&M has that high-octane offense led by quarterback Kyle Allen, who will look early and often for his wide receiver and Christian Kirk. But A&M defensively has been bringing it themselves this year under defensive coordinator John Chavis. Of course, Chavis was a longtime defensive coordinator at LSU. He stayed in the conference, and he's making a difference in College Station with the Aggies. 19 team sacks already this year for A&M. 7.5 of those are coming from Myles Garrett. So if A&M can put pressure on the Bama quarterbacks in this game, keep them in second and long, keep them in third and long, make that crowd down there be a factor, it will help them stay in this game. It's going to be a tight one, but I'm going to take Alabama on the road in this one by the score of 34-30. Now, it's been some time since a big showdown like this was going to take place between Michigan and Michigan State, but that is the case this Saturday in Ann Arbor, as you have the 7th-ranked Spartans of Michigan State, who come in with an undefeated record of 6-0, traveling to take on the 12th-ranked Michigan Wolverines, who come in with a record of 5-1. Everybody wondered how long it would take for Jim Harbaugh to get things turned around at Michigan, and it has not taken him that long. 6 games in, Michigan has already matched their win total from all of last year. You look at this Michigan State club, and led by quarterback Connor Cook, you know, he's a little bit more than a game manager. A lot of people, you know, see him as a game manager in this system under head football coach Mark Dantonio, but he can go out there and get the job done. But at the same time, rely on your running game with running back LJ Scott, and if that opens up the pass, Cook can go to his wide receiver in Aaron Burbridge. Now, Michigan State has been all about defense under Mark Dantonio, and that is once again the case this year, led by linebacker Riley Bulla. And this team as a unit has 21 team sacks, led by defensive end Schlick Calhoun. On the flip side for Michigan, you look at Jake Rudock. He is a game manager. He doesn't have to go out there and put this team on his back at quarterback. Rely on your solid running game and rely on your defense, a defense that has 3 consecutive shutouts. That's what the Wolverines are doing and dealing with now. This is going to be a tight one, but I think this game goes a long way in restoring Michigan to a national power, because I guarantee you Harbaugh has been putting it in these guys' heads all spring and summer long about losing to Michigan and Ohio, Michigan State and Ohio State. This is the game that gets things started and gets Michigan going back, and I'm going to take the Wolverines at home in this one by the score of 22-20. Now, Saturday night in the SEC, you have the 8th-ranked Florida Gators traveling to Death Valley and Tiger Stadium in Baton Rouge to take on the 6th-ranked LSU Tigers. Both of these teams come into this game undefeated, but the game lost a little bit of its luster this week when Florida quarterback Will Grier was suspended by the NCAA for 1 year due to testing positive for performance-enhancing drugs. Now, Treyon Harris has gotten time as a Florida starting quarterback, and I'm sure the Florida head coach is going to try to put a game plan together in which Harris does not have to single-handedly put this Florida Gators team on his back. Florida has an aggressive defense. You look at all of those guys that former Florida head coach Will Muschamp recruited. A lot of those guys are still there, and McElwain has really just turned them loose and let them go out there and do their thing. Thus, Florida already has 21 sacks on the season. Now, for LSU, 2 words, Leonard Fournette. And if anybody has not seen this kid play tailback this year, or running back this year, rather, for the Tigers and head coach Les Miles, you are in for a treat. Simply give this guy the football and get out of his way. 2, 3, 4, 5, sometimes 6 guys cannot stop him when he gets a full head of steam. It's that simple. Now, the Gators will stack the box on Fournette and dare LSU to beat them passing. And Florida has that ability due to the fact that DB Vernon Hargreaves is one of the best cornerbacks in the nation. This is going to be a very tight affair, but I'm going to take LSU at home in this one by the score of 23-20. Now, at the Horseshoe in Columbus on Saturday night, you have the 5-1 Penn State Nittany Lions traveling to take on the top team in the land, and that would be the Ohio State Buckeyes. Now, you look at Penn State coming into this game after they lost their opener to Temple. They've won their last 5 affairs, but this is going to be their fiercest test of the season under head coach James Franklin. Now, you look at Christian Hackenberg, Penn State's quarterback. He's been up and down, and it's a different system that he was running as opposed to his freshman year under former head coach Bill O'Brien. And I don't see Hackenberg as a guy that is still adjusted to that. And I think he's trying to do a little bit too much. I think Hackenberg can have its moments against this Ohio State defense, but I see a mistake or two coming down the pike from him in this game that could cost Penn State dearly. You look at the running game for Penn State with running back Saquon Barkley, and Hackenberg really needs to lean on him and that offensive line as far as moving the chains. Penn State defensively has 25 team sacks, 10 of those coming from Carl Nassib, but Penn State has to play disciplined football this Saturday night if they're going to get the road upset due to the spread offense that the Buckeyes employ. Now, you talk about the Buckeyes, and they're going with two quarterbacks in Cardale Jones and JT Barrett, and typically when you have two quarterbacks, it means you don't have one. Both Barrett and Jones are good, but as a quarterback, you need to know that you're going to be the guy. And it's about that time that head football coach Urban Meyer makes a decision just to stick with one singular guy as being his starting quarterback. But in the interim, while that happens, Ohio State still has a solid running attack led by Ezekiel Elliott. And you look at their defense as a unit, they already have 19 team sacks this year. And you look at Raekwon McMillan, who already has 62 tackles, and Joshua Perry, who has 52. Penn State keeps this close for 3.5 quarters, but like I said, I see Hackenberg making a mistake in this game, and it's going to cost him dearly, and I'm going to take Ohio State at home by the score of 31-20. And finally, on Saturday night in the Pac-12 Conference, you have the Arizona State Sun Devils traveling to Rice-Eccles Stadium in Salt Lake City to take on the undefeated and fourth-ranked Utes of Utah. You look at Arizona under head coach Todd Graham, and these are the type of games that he lives for. Why? Because it's a road contest. A lot of people are writing them off, and ASU wants to go out there and make a surge and try to get back to the Pac-12 championship game. You look at Mike Bercovici and running back DeMario Richard for this Arizona State offense that will look to lead the upset. And, of course, Jordan Simone defensively at linebacker already this season. He has 51 tackles. 19 team sacks by Arizona so far, and I see them trying to put some pressure on this Utah offense led by quarterback Travis Wilson, making him one-dimensional as a passer as opposed to a runner along with running back Devontae Booker. But Utah can bring it as well. They have 12 interceptions as a team, and there's something about playing there at night that really discourages the road opponent. Thus, I'm going to take the Utes in a tight affair by the score of 31-30. So folks, those are my key games for the upcoming weekend in the world of college football. And I want to once again thank you for tuning in to the 300 Pounds of Sports Knowledge Podcast. Now be sure to check out blogtalkradio.com/300 Pounds of Sports Knowledge this Sunday night at 9 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. on the West Coast, as I will be recapping the day's action from week number 6 in the National Football League. Now, if you're on Twitter, please feel free to follow me at 300 Pounds of Sports. And like I always say, if you follow me, it is always my pleasure to follow you right back. Also, there is a Facebook page at 300 Pounds of Sports Knowledge. You can check that out, and you are more than welcome to like that as well. Once again, fine folks, my name is William Martin. Take care and have yourselves a wonderful day.